Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion on politics, human rights, and the environment. I'm Dori Smith.
What the state of Connecticut wants to do is reasonable and overdue.
Millstone routinely emits radioactive isotopes.
We provide an update on Connecticut efforts to raise taxes on Dominion Resources, the operator at Connecticut's controversial Millstone Nuclear Power Plant in Waterford, the first version of Senate Bill 1176, an act concerning electric rate relief, would have raised some $330 million in taxes from Millstone at a rate of about 2 cents per kilowatt hour. Millstone responded with a massive PR campaign, threatening to shut down their plant, threatening to lay off workers and operate with fewer on-site staff during shutdowns, and threatening to pass along any cost of a new tax to ratepayers.
Unless we can resolve the situation in a short period of time, we don't need as many people to work at the station when we're shut down as when we're operating.
During a shutdown of a nuclear power plant, that's among the most dangerous times for the plant itself.
Those favoring a higher tax for Millstone argue that the nuclear energy they provide is not safe, and they say they're reaping record earnings for it. In an abrupt announcement last week, Connecticut Governor Dan Malloy proposed a more general tax on all power generators. Under his plan, the state would have charged a generation tax of 0.2 cents per kilowatt hour across all power generators here. Under that new plan, Millstone's tax would have been just $33 million per year in taxes for energy generated at the Millstone nuclear plant. Millstone spokesman Ken Holt was already congratulating the governor when news of yet another proposal was announced. Right now, we're still awaiting the amount of tax to be levied on Millstone as the co-chair of the General Assembly's Energy and Technology Committee, John Fonfara and Vicky Nardello, are trying a power play to recover more of what they're calling a rate windfall from Millstone. They want to give more of an incentive to alternative energy providers, and they want taxation to represent Millstone's real earnings in the state. They also want to prevent Millstone from passing along a tax increase to consumers. We turn first to Judy Friedman of PACE, www.pace-cleanenergy.org. For years, her organization has conducted workshops at the homes and businesses in Connecticut that have successfully used clean energies like solar, wind, and geo, so that people interested in getting off the grid can learn from each other. Her organization has been encouraging state residents to contact the legislature and the governor to ask that they enforce Senate Bill 1176 and tax Millstone.
We support SB 1176. And urge your listeners to contact their legislators in favor of this bill. As Senator John Fonfara said on WTIC, this is a tax on oil, coal, and nuclear, and it's a very slight tax. And Dominion made over $200 million profit last year. Their CEO last year had an annual intake of money, which includes perks and bonuses of all sorts, and a salary of $14 million. That's 1 year. And this tax would not affect ratepayers because Dominion can't affect that. So this is a tax on these, and it turns out that the tax is on the most polluting industries. As you know, Dori, we have tremendous air pollution in this state. And while nuclear does not produce carbon dioxide emissions when the plant is running, although it produces them when uranium is being mined, milled, processing, transported, and the storage of waste for thousands of years, so on and so forth, the Millstone does emit radioactive isotopes into the air, land, and water. So to tax these polluting industries, to my mind, is great from a moral point of view, and it won't hurt the ratepayer, and these industries, especially Dominion, can easily afford this small tax. And we have a budget problem that's very, very, very serious, and we need to have what is called shared sacrifice by everyone. We must change our ways of budgeting, and that means people have to give a little.
And Judy Friedman, I know I've lived in the state of Connecticut, so I've watched what you've done at PACE over the years of just continuing to get the message out there. Why don't you tell listeners what PACE does in terms of your effort to bring alternative energy information to the state residents?
We're really an educational organization that tries to show people by witnessing that there are alternatives to nuclear power, polluting coal and oil and natural gas. And we do that by having tours of homes, residences, and facilities that use energy efficiency and renewable technologies. And we just had an amazing tour this past Saturday in Brantford, and we had over 75 people in a seminar just absolutely enthralled by what is going on right now with green technology. So that's our main focus. We are not a political organization per se, because we're a 501c3, but we do try to broadcast and appeal concerning bills that come up and influence legislators that come up that affect the things that we do. We are the only nonprofit organization in Connecticut that is solely devoted to clean energy, energy efficiency, renewables, and absolutely opposes very strongly nuclear power and weapons.
Now, even in this climate of, you know, post-Fukushima Japan radiation concerns, we are seeing the president ask for $36 billion in loan guarantees for the nuclear industry in the United States. What kinds of things can we do? Because I know there's a kind of welcome mat laid out for the nuclear industry in light of all this money. In fact, Dominion, the company that runs Millstone in Connecticut, has been giving NPR money, you know, funding for news programs. And so at the end of a news program, the last one I heard said something like, Millstone powering Connecticut with 1,000 jobs and an emission-free source of energy, which, as we know, is not exactly true.
We have to get smarter. I think we're operating with 20th century thinking. And sometimes when people say to me, oh, nuclear power is great, I just say, oh, that's so 20th century. We know now that these polluting forms of energy are very, very unhealthy. What we also know is that renewables and energy efficiency works. And if you want to create jobs, then you go with renewables and energy efficiency. Yes, Millstone boasts of all these jobs, but if we started to install solar panels big time and manufacture them in this state, and if we had Home Energy Solutions is a great program, and if we had a more aggressive campaign to get people to reduce energy, and all those things create wonderful jobs that are long-lasting and benefit our health and benefit our economy. We have to think 21st century. We've got a problem on this planet, and we better address it.
And I've been watching the stock market lately, and it does seem like solar power companies and other kinds of alternative energy companies are just not getting the kind of attention or investment dollars that they deserve, given what I've been reading about how they could replace nuclear, coal, and other forms of energies that pollute.
You're totally correct, and the reason is one word, subsidies. The subsidy money that goes into the polluting industries is disgusting, and the subsidy money for energy efficiency and renewables is very, very minor. If we took away those fat subsidies and or subsidized everyone, you know, in a more equal way, we would see a whole different picture. And that's one of the problems. And the subsidies have to do with the heavy lobbying efforts. Right now, as you know, the oil industry is supposed to be fixing up the BP problems in the Gulf, and that's not getting too far. So this is subsidies is the name of the game, and that's what we have to try to deal with.
Well, we're reading the headlines right now and finding out that TEPCO, this is Tokyo Electric Power, has sent robots in again to test radiation levels inside these plants, and what they're finding is that they're way too high for workers to safely enter. Now, these workers will have to enter in order to continue moving towards shutdown, which is something that It's questionable now, not only how long it will take, but whether or not they can actually pull it off anymore, you know. But we're looking at least 9 months, they're saying, at this point. So that's 9 months of potentially high levels of radiation leaking into the ocean, into the air, and onto their farmland. Unfortunately, it blows over to the, you know, various other countries, including China, the Koreas, and of course North America and Europe. So we're looking at a global catastrophe that is going to be continuing for the better part of 2011.
And beyond. Chernobyl happened in 1986. It is now 2011, and still we have contaminated areas in Sweden that are cordoned off, the forbidden zones, and in Cumbria and Pripyat, which is a ghost town now because it's a radiation town, has been stripped of many things. Toilet seats were taken out of the town by unscrupulous people and are used around Eastern Europe and are irradiated. I mean, these things, the mice in the Chernobyl area, they have found genetic changes into the 22nd generation. So this is just appalling what this means. The seabird fertility in California was affected by the Chernobyl accident. So this is, we're a small planet, and this is a sick concept to hurt the whole planet with this terrible technology.
Judy Friedman, if the subsidies were given to better, greener forms of energy, how long would the conversion take?
That's a good question, Dory, and an easy answer. First of all, we have to be sure not to think of one thing. We need a hybrid use of these wonderful technologies. But the big, beautiful, plausible, economic answer is energy efficiency. Ho-hum, that sounds boring. It's not. Just the new LED light-emitting diode light bulbs that are out there use a tenth of the energy of an incandescent bulb and last so long you wouldn't believe it. And if everyone, you know, moved to that kind of lighting, it would be great. I drive through Hartford. I drive along Route 44, and I'd come 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning and find all these stupid lights on. We're just on a technological joyride. We have been that sick. And energy efficiency and conservation. It doesn't mean freezing. It just means being smart. New street lights that focus downward, changing light bulbs. There are just so many things, and that gives jobs, and that doesn't pollute, and that is here and now technology. And if we replaced all the light bulbs in this country, we would eliminate the need for nuclear power.
Judy Friedman of PACE. People's Action for Clean Energy in Connecticut. The website is pace-cleanenergy.org. We turn next to Nancy Burton of the Connecticut Coalition Against Millstone. They've been involved in many administrative law and court proceedings with the group. Nancy Burton is trained as an attorney, but she's a journalist by profession. In 2009, the state Supreme Court ruled in her favor after a decade-long fight. Residents of Connecticut now have standing to sue the state for failure to enforce pollution standards under the Connecticut Environmental Protection Act. The website for Nancy Burton's Connecticut Coalition Against Millstone is www.mothballmillstone.org. We asked her first if they support the new tax, which in its first incarnation would mean $330 million in new state tax revenues. Other incarnations are, as we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, under discussion right now at Connecticut's Capitol.
The legislature's on the right track here. For its entire life, Millstone has benefited from billions of dollars from the federal government subsidies. In other words, our pockets, our taxpayer pockets, as being part of the nuclear industry. And that has to do with the fact that Dominion doesn't have to assume the ordinary business cost of taking care of its thousands of tons of high-level radioactive waste for the eons that it will need to be carefully watched and secured. The taxpayers are paying for that. Well, any other business would have to assume the real cost of doing business. Same time, Dominion doesn't have to take out insurance to cover the full economic impact of a catastrophe at Millstone. That is something that, again, the federal government has passed along to taxpayers in the form of the Price-Anderson Act. What that means is, should there be, God forbid, a catastrophic event at Millstone causing billions of dollars of damage, as is happening in Japan, Dominion would not have to pay beyond a certain minimal amount. We, as taxpayers, would pick up the rest. It seems that what the state of Connecticut wants to do is reasonable and overdue. Opponents of this bill, and I gather that they principally represent people in southeastern Connecticut, those legislators aren't really looking to safeguard the people of this state. They are looking to safeguard a corporation that has run ragged over our health and safety for years. And our position is that the tax doesn't go nearly far enough for several reasons. I will focus on just one for the moment, and that is health. Because, for instance, the federal government has a law that compensates nuclear workers and people living downwind from the nuclear atmospheric testing sites in the West. And to demonstrate entitlement to receive compensation, claimants have to demonstrate that they suffer an injury that is related to radiation exposure. Well, around Millstone, which is continuously releasing radiation to the environment, to the air that we breathe, to the water, just as is happening in Japan, with radioactive waste gushing out into our coastal waters, we need to look toward some reparations for this from this profit-seeking company. And I think a very good proposal to the legislature would be a bill that would invite potential claimants in the area near Millstone, and we're talking about a large area because the radiation, as we have seen certainly in the events unfolding at Fukushima, radiation travels. And people who are suffering from illnesses that are known to be radiation-induced, such as leukemia and thyroid cancer, can present their claims, and it would be up to the company to disprove these claims. It wouldn't take long for the company to plead poverty and bankruptcy and shut down. And the sad fact of this is that when Dominion came from Virginia in 2000 to purchase Millstone, it was allowed to do so as a shell company with no assets and no employees and with just a post office box for an address. And they were allowed to set this up so that they would escape liability in the event of an accident or other problematical conditions at Millstone. Fukushima is a real eye-opener to the fact and the folly of our reliance on nuclear power as a safe, green, clean form of energy. It's much too dangerous to be allowed to continue.
Can I ask you about this threat to operate with fewer staff during
yes.
shutdown?
Because, yes.
you know, it seems, would you call that a threat?
It's worse than a threat because the state of Connecticut has entrusted Dominion with the key to Pandora's box. And Dominion is treating that key like a playground trophy, like playground bullies. And even as they try to make the point, as they tried to the other evening at a meeting in Waterford, that they run a safe, responsible, community-sensitive operation, their conduct in this whole tax business shows quite the opposite. They are not being completely honest with the public about their operations. They represent, for instance, that they're having a refueling outage at Unit 2, and they're saying that the way they're going about it is very responsible, and the public should be very pleased that soon Unit 2 will be up and operating again. While the fact is that during a shutdown of a nuclear power plant, that's among the most dangerous times for the plant itself, even though it's not producing electricity and it's not providing any economic benefit to its customers or to the community. And that's because during a shutdown, The company begins to perform all the maintenance that it has been putting off during the time that it's been producing electricity, and they open up their vents and their valves, and they let radioactive waste gush through the system, through the coils and the miles of pipes into the Long Island Sound, and they open up their radiation vents to let the radiation escape to the environment. Don't take my word for it. You can go to their website. As a result of a bill that we proposed to the legislature a couple of years ago, there's a law that requires Dominion to post on its website its planned releases of radioactivity to the environment. These are planned. These are what they deliberately intend to release into the air and water. And this isn't the accidental release that is something else entirely. This is what they deliberately plan to do, and you can go to their website, DOM.com, and you can see that this month of April in Connecticut, Dominion is deliberately planning to release its largest batch of radiation for the whole year, and that's attributable to the Unit 2 shutdown. This plant is not safe, it's not clean, it's dirty, and it's dangerous.
I want to play now again a portion of my rather lengthy interview with Ken Holt, the spokesperson at Millstone. He's also spokesperson for Dominion on the nuclear energy being provided to Connecticut. Now, when I asked him about Plant 1, which is in shutdown, I mentioned the safety concerns that led to that shutdown, and let's listen to how he reacted to that question. You've got one plant closed and inoperable, too dangerous to run. It's got nuclear waste material sitting on top of it. And
whoa,
it's,
whoa, 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 whoa.
But
whoa.
That's true, isn't it?
No, no. The reason Unit 1 is shut down is the previous owner, Northeast Utilities, decided that it wasn't economically viable. So they made the decision to shut it down in 1998.
Nancy Burton, what about it? It's a plant that's very similar to the one that exploded at Fukushima. They've had hydrogen explosions at the Millstone plant in Connecticut on several occasions. And I think a lot of us that live in the state remember what it was like here back in the days when that plant was so frightening to all of us.
There are similarities between Millstone and Fukushima. For instance, Millstone Unit 1 is a GE Mark I style reactor, just as are the six reactors at Fukushima, designed and built by our own General Electric. It has the same elevated spent fuel pool as do the Fukushima reactors that are crippled and are, even as we speak, releasing high amounts of radiation that is spreading globally all the time, has reached our shores, has reached the milk in Vermont. And Unit 1 was decommissioned back in 1998, I think it was, but that doesn't mean, even though it's not contributing in any way economically to our economy, it's a huge liability. And it points to how $1 billion of investments can, over a short period of time, hours even, translate into billions of dollars of liability, because that spent fuel pool has thousands of tons of high-level radioactive waste perched several stories above the ground. And it's not covered by a containment structure in common with the reactors and the spent fuel pools at Fukushima. That means that it's vulnerable in the same way to similar chains of events that we can't, in our finite knowledge, always foresee. And should there be an event at Millstone that would disable the pumps that have to cool that highly radioactive fuel, it could lead, potentially, worst case scenario, to leaks and breaks and drawdown of the water in the pool, and ultimately, potentially, horribly, it could lead to a fire, catastrophic fire, melting the zirconium cladding, and things could get out of control. Of course, we hope that would never, never, never happen. It would be just unthinkably devastating. But it's one of the potential events that sane people have to keep in mind when they consider whether nuclear power is clean, safe, and green. And just looking at Millstone Unit 1 in its current mode, it certainly isn't. And we also know that for years, Dominion's predecessor, Northeast Utilities, was burning defective fuel at Millstone Unit 1. And after they discovered it was defective, that means that the fuel cladding had holes, which meant that the materials inside were not completely protected by a barrier to prevent their release into the environment. Even after they discovered this, they kept using the same defective fuel. These were called leakers. And they ended up in the Millstone Unit 1 spent fuel pool. They're still there, and they're still leaking. And that is contributing to continuous releases of radiation from Millstone Unit 1 spent fuel pool into the air and water, even all these years after that reactor has been shut down. I just wanted to digress here to go to Millstone Unit 3, which is operating today at 100% power. And the fact is that Millstone Unit 3, although it's not a boiling water reactor, it's not a Fukushima-style reactor, it's a pressurized water reactor, it too, however, is very vulnerable to a chain of events that could lead to a Fukushima type of catastrophe. And in fact, you go to our website, mothballmillstone.org, we have some information about an event that happened that caused a loss of off-site power to Millstone Unit 3 not so very long ago, and it happened to occur just at the time that Millstone Unit 3 was undergoing a refueling outage. And we were given information by an expert, David Lockbaum, a nuclear engineer with the Union of Concerned Scientists, that in fact that's not a good time for a nuclear power plant to be without off-site power, because during a refueling outage, some of the water lines are shut down. So potentially, the so-called redundancy that the plant owners and operators tell the public they have in place at all times to protect the public from accidents, some of those redundancies aren't there when you might most need them.
We have seen a major PR campaign going on, and one of the questions here is, how much do the people of Connecticut really understand? Because they're being given a lot of opinions, but most of them come from the industry itself, it seems to me.
Right. Well, Millstone is citing a survey that says that people in the state like nuclear power. I'd like to see who they surveyed. I mean, did they circulate a survey among their own employees? Because people who are aware of Millstone, who don't derive income from it, who don't work there, most all of them, in light of what they've been seeing happening across the globe in Japan, I believe would say we'd be better off without it. And in fact, west of the Connecticut River in Connecticut, nobody benefits from Millstone. We don't get any of our electricity from Millstone. It doesn't cross the Connecticut River. So all we have is the specter of a potential disaster and economic liability from that plant.
Nancy Burton with the Connecticut Coalition Against Millstone. Finally, an update from the Energy and Technology Committee in Hartford, Connecticut, shows that while SB 1176 is not successful, they've entered a related amendment to the state budget, which will come to a vote soon. Under committee head Senator John Funfara and Representative Vicky Nardello, the push to raise taxes on nuclear power and other forms of less green energy will go on. Their proposal may be seen as a kind of advisory to the Governor Dan Malloy, who had sought a flat tax across the board on all forms of energy as a compromise. But Connecticut has a unique law, meaning rates are based on costs for the company that pays the most to provide its energy, plus 10%. Thus, even providers paying the least to produce energy can charge the same as those who must pay more. Funfara and Nardello say they also hope to gain tax relief for residents by eliminating the present surcharge for energy, and they have good support at the Capitol. Their tax would bring in roughly half of what 1176 already proposed for Millstone, and do so in a way that prevents the company from simply passing along any tax to ratepayers. For now, Millstone can continue to reap huge profits from the state of Connecticut for its nuclear power, but will hopefully be replaced soon by safer, greener solar, wind, geothermal, and hydro, according to some state officials. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dory Smith. This program is produced in Storrs, Connecticut, and syndicated with Pacifica Network. TalkNationRadio.org for transcripts, audio, and discussions.